Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You know, I mean, he's missing. Last night he missed threes, but he missed twos. I mean, he missed layups. I mean, he's still, you know, he's just not there. He's not playing at the level we need him to play. We need him and Tyus to play at a very high level, and they're not.
Drop balls. I mean, we're dropping touchdowns in the end zone on guys that have made plays for us the last 2 or 3 weeks. We've got guys that are jumping up and locking in and catching the football and then hitting the ground and the ball is coming out. We had, you know, I'm not going to call any guys out. We had very, very, for the most part, our veterans played extremely well on three sides of the ball, offense, defense, and special teams. But you start going back to our young people, and it was not good. They did not handle the surroundings well.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe. Give us a like on Facebook at Q's Militia Podcast and follow on Twitter at Q's Militia.
All right, what's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning into the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, as always, please share it and make sure to hit that subscribe button. A brutal weekend for us as Orange fans, emotionally draining, maybe, is how I would describe it. But we're here to talk you off the ledge because, you know, maybe our pride's damaged, but these games, in my opinion, mean very little when put into perspective, and that's what we're here to do. But before we start saving lives, we got to hear from MyBookie. MyBookie's got a new promo going on, okay? And if you've ever wanted to place a bet but were too afraid to pick the wrong team, this Thanksgiving is finally possible for you to get 100% refund on your bet if you lose it. With the Turkey Day free play, you can bet on the spread in either the Bears or the Lions. If it wins, you win. If it loses, MyBookie will give your money back up to $250. You literally cannot lose. It's no risk. All gravy. MyBookie offers such a great product, and there has literally never been a better time to try them out. Unless your sports book is offering something like this, I think you should make the switch. I've never heard of a sports book doing freebies like this, and I doubt it'll ever happen again. These guys are trustworthy, fast, and helpful, so I know they're good for it. If you're new to sports betting and have a lot of questions, that's okay, because MyBookie's patient customer service can walk you through any questions you have about how online sports betting works. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Log on to MyBookie right now and use promo code QS50 to get the 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code QS50. You do not need the promo code for the Turkey Day free play. If you lose, they'll credit the money back into your account automatically. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and don't miss out on the gravy train at MyBookie. That's MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. All right. So, you know, with everything that kind of happened over the weekend, the three games, we're going to do our best to kind of put this in a nutshell and only give you the meat of it, you know, for all these games. You know, it was a bad weekend, It got bad, and we're all waiting with bated breath as the status of Eric Dungy is pretty much unknown at this point. I think there's some speculation. Latest I heard, it's not so good. I can only say that, honestly, my heart breaks for Eric Dungy. This guy has given everything to this team and to these fans, and nothing short of blood, sweat, and tears, and literally broken bones. He gave it all every game, and, you know, it's a travesty. I think it sucks, and if he's not going to be able to play in a bowl game that he helped bring this team to and the fans are all excited about, I just feel awful for him on a play that did not look very serious.
And it didn't. And that's the most ironic thing, right?
I know, right?
He's taking 100 hits worse than that.
I know.
And how many times have we cringed? And I don't think anybody cringed on that. That just looked like a normal little play. Those are the type of injuries that scare you, because then it's like, okay, well, what happened?
Right, you know? Especially when he gets up, he goes to the huddle, and then he comes out of the huddle and he limps, and then he limps worse, and then he grabs his back and falls. That delayed reaction.
The adrenaline wore off.
Yeah.
And then he started to feel the hit.
Yeah.
And or whatever he did.
And something, yeah.
It's never good when you're limping and you're holding your back, that's for sure. So
No, and he could not. It was almost like his legs just gave out. They couldn't put any more weight on him. So pinched nerve, maybe. I don't know.
It could. Yeah, it could be. I just say I look at it like, you know, like you said, my heart goes out to him, and it would suck for this to happen. But at the same time, it would kind of be par for the course. And I'm not saying that to kind of be like an, you know, I don't care type, you know, but
I get it.
More or less, no one's going to forget what he did. You know, he's in the record books now, even if he doesn't play another snap for Syracuse. I think that if there is further success, like I think a lot of us think are going to happen and hope for, and with this Dino Babers and everybody like that, I think that everybody, no matter if he plays another snap or not, is going to remember who was in the forefront of that, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to Eric, the team, and obviously his family. He's got a brother, sister, and a mom, I'm sure, are, you know.
Worried.
Worried, exactly. So, anyway, the show must go on. And we'll see what happens against Boston College. The first time since 87-88 that Syracuse Orange basketball has started 2-2. To kind of condense both games, obviously Syracuse dropped it 2-2. It was ugly, 83-76 against UConn and 80-65 to Oregon. In the two games, the Orange were 37.5 from the floor, 22 from three. Folks, it's 11 for 50. None of these guys, as far as I know, have not made a name taking deep shots. So I don't know why they continued to take so many. They were 75% from the line, which isn't horrible. And I'm not sure what happened to Brissett in New York City, but it was pretty lackluster. He shot 18.5 from the field, and he was 2 for 13, 15% from 3, and only 20 points in both games. I felt like he was kind of chasing points with the three when that's not really his game. Last year, Brissett was 174 for 221 at the line. That's his game. It's like an identity crisis or something, you know. And I know against Oregon, you had Bol Bol in there, and maybe it was a little tougher to penetrate. But you got to kind of make up for that, don't you? I mean, Battle, he only scored, he was 11 for 27. Overall, 33 points.
No,
in both
he wasn't
games.
Bad.
No, he wasn't terrible, but he was silently not bad, though, right? Like the impact was never really felt.
Yeah.
And then
that comes with, you know, just kind of trying to figure out the roles and still figuring out who's running the offense. I don't think we have anybody out there that can run the offense. And those two games were eerily similar as far as
the
play. You can tell kind of. Yeah. Well, you can tell what our problems were. I mean, the first game against UConn. That to me it was a mystery. Like, I don't know what to do.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
deal was if they just weren't ready to play. I mean, getting out rebound by a team like that where you have the height advantage. I mean, O'Shea Brissett, a double-double machine, and you going 3-for-15 for 8 points and 5 rebounds, like that's – you can't do that. Like that's not going to cut it, especially, like I said, against an undersized team where that Cobb dude – he ended up getting a double-double, and he was probably the player of the game and the reason why they won. We won the turnover battle, but then they out-rebounded us by 14. And again,
Cobb's off the bench too, by the way, just to know.
Yeah, well, we were an overall bigger team. Therefore, we shouldn't get out-rebounded by 14. We won the turnover battle.
Yeah.
Really no reason why we should have lost that game other than the fact of what we did because of the rebounds and because
they were hot with the
three. They shot 12 of 21 from the three-point line, 57%. Like, that's – that's crazy. I mean, some of the ones when we were trying to make that comeback in the second half, a couple times we were making those runs, and I thought we were going to come back and have a chance.
They would hit it.
I mean, you're talking 28 feet,
yeah,
off the NBA three point line. So, So that was difficult to overcome. And then the next night against Bol Bol, that really obviously he's a problem. He's probably going to. I don't want to speculate, and I don't want
to. Think he's a one-year player? Is that what you're about to say?
Well, that, but also just the fact of how good Oregon could be. I mean, they had another player, I think Lewis King, that was sitting out, and he was their second-best recruit coming in, and he's a scorer too. So, I mean, that team, I think, is going to be dangerous. In my opinion, I think they're going to run away with the Pac-12 and – that Bol Bol guy, he's not just a Chukwu in the middle. He can dribble. He can shoot threes. He can make every single shot. That little
he has some jump. Grace. He has some finesse, man. I mean,
that 8-footer right in the lane, no one can block that, and he's just made every single one.
I know
them,
so. The hooks and the floaters. He hit a three. He was 11-for-17. One for two from three. He hit all three of his three free throws. He had 9 rebounds. Yep. And 3 steals and 4 blocks. Yeah. I mean,
and I believe that game we shot 26 points. I believe that game we shot 17% from the 3-point line, and we allowed them to shoot, I think, 50% from the, I think, like 25 of 50. So just overall, I mean, it comes down to we just can't score. We tried, our offense is predicated on pick and roll in isolation, trying to create mismatches, and we just don't have the scoring down low between Sidibe or Chukwu or even Dolje right now really isn't helping too much. So we just don't have the full complement of our whole team. And I think there's a little bit of a role crisis right now as far as people trying to figure that out with Frank Howard out. And just overall this weekend, it's the fact that we allowed our opponents, both of them basically, to shoot 50% from field goal land or from, you know, his field goals. And
yeah, 49 and 50.
And we got out rebounded.
Yep.
And those are the two biggest things. That's the difference of the game.
Chukwu never bothered to even take a shot against Oregon. He was just shut down completely. He looked like a baby horse out there once again. And this is after the last episode. I was saying how, or maybe not the last one, but I thought he had gained some muscle. I thought he was being a little bit more physical. He seemed a little bit more aggressive, but... I mean, there was some of that was really ugly. I thought Jalen Carey was probably the star through both games with 40 points. He was 12 for 14 from the foul line, and he had 6 steals. I mean, so in what you see is you get with. Go ahead.
I was going to say, no, him and Elijah Hughes are, I think, were the two most impressive guys, you know, this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, just because, I mean, they're newcomers, but they also, it looked like they made the biggest impact. I mean, I know.
They had the biggest impact and they had the most energy.
Right, exactly. And I don't know if that's just some type of mentality because, ironically, they weren't on that team that made the little Sweet 16, you know? So I don't know if it's just lackadaisical, if they just don't have that sense of urgency that, like, you know, and that was another thing with UConn, you know? UConn had a sense of urgency, like it was a tournament game, and
That was personal.
We can't show up like that. We're a ranked team now, and we, you know, there's expectations. We're being talked about. Like, teams know that we should be pretty good, and we got some NBA players on our team. And when they show up to play us, they're going to be ready to go. And we can't just sit back and be, it's not a tournament. I mean, we got plenty of time. It's not a tournament game. Like, they didn't even look like they wanted to play the first half of that UConn game.
It was like they took. It was almost like they were just lackadaisical out there, like the 4-year-old on the soccer field picking dandelions. I don't know. There was no.
You did say, didn't you say something about them showing up late to New York City or something like that?
And the weather had something? They were short. They were short. They showed up late. I think it was like maybe an hour or something like that, because it took them like 2 hours to go two blocks because New York City can't figure out what to do when it snows. It's like, hello, like it never snowed there before. You know, you right. can't prepare for these things. So, yeah, they were late. It maybe threw them off. I don't know. Maybe they were sleeping on the bus. They didn't get the blood pumping, obviously. It was they were just kind of, I don't know. They were just kind of vanilla on the court, man. It was pretty bad at first. So what you see is what you get without Frank Howard, in my opinion. Joe, you going to argue with that?
You're absolutely right. I mean, you can obviously work to get better with what you're going to look like without him, but that's really just going to come with experience more than anything. You know, Battle, he's out of position. Jalen Carey, he only was a point guard and leading an offense, so I think his senior year of high school, only 1 year. And now he's stepping in. And like I said, he played good this weekend, but you can play good and score, but that doesn't mean that you're good at leading an offense. And, you know, there were times where he was sloppy with the ball and had some turnovers. So he's still got a lot to learn. But, I mean, he's going to be an exciting player in the future and even be able to help us this year. But, I mean, you're not going to say Frank Howard needs to come back.
He needs to come back. There's no leader. The confidence looked low. The intensity we mentioned. The ball handling was sloppy. The defense, which I thought could probably save us, obviously needs some work. I mean, they kind of look confused. And like we said, the two hardest fighters out there were the new guys on the block. So
Well, these guys are supposed to be gaining experience with Frank Howard in there, especially Jalen Carey. You know, he's supposed to be gaining experience right now, coming off the bench and helping. And obviously that's not the situation right now. So it's tough because in one instance, you know exactly what's going to happen when Frank Howard comes back, and you're going to have to work to, you know, figure that out because he hasn't practiced since he had the injury to begin with. So, you know, who knows when that's going to be. So it's just difficult because it's like you're trying to figure roles out and figure out how to win now. And now when he does come back, when Frank Howard does come back, then it's going to be a bunch of different roles changes and you're going to have to learn how to play a different way. So
it's tough. What do you see the lineup? Go ahead. Do you have something to say? Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm sure it's pretty tough for Boeheim to kind of figure out what he wants to exert his energy on.
Yeah, I know.
You know, as far as how he wants to, you know, how many options do you want to go when if Frank Howard's only a week away? I don't know.
Right. Now they're speculating. Coach said in his post-game press conference that, you know, he expects Frank Howard back on Wednesday. So we'll see if there is a difference in the flow to the offense. Syracuse shooting through the season so far, 38%, 96 for 249. And both Oregon and UConn scored 80-plus. And just to put it into perspective, last year opponents averaged 63.8 points a game for the Orange. And I didn't know this, but I read it. Syracuse has never played Oregon before, so they're 0-1 against Oregon.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. And Syracuse all-time record at Madison Square Garden is 95-79. So that's a lot of games at Madison Square Garden, huh?
Yeah, it is. Big East tournament and then these other tournaments this, you know.
Yeah, the whole home away from home thing and this and that. Boy, let me tell you what. I'm not going to dog the fans because there was so much going on, and we talked about where do you put your money, what ticket do you buy. But both of the basketball games were really quiet as far as SU's fans go. And I know they were there. I saw them. But in the football game, you know, they only got allotted so many tickets for, like, the school and stuff like that to sell through dome ticks and all that, right? It was like 5,000.
Yeah.
So
if you think about the way that every single one of those games started, I mean – then you can kind of understand. I mean, and if you know Syracuse fans, even the ones that go to the Dome, I mean, there really wasn't a lot to be excited about early in any of those games. There was a couple times in that UConn game where they went on some runs and it got loud. But other than that, you know, I don't really remember it being too, you know, loud like that. So, and again, I mean, we don't really know what's going to happen as far as you don't know how good these other teams are. I mean, UConn could go and roll through the AAC.
Well, they stunk against Iowa.
So, well, I mean, Iowa beat Oregon.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I mean, maybe they just got Iowa messed up. Maybe Iowa's just a really good team. Oregon's going to be a good team.
It's like that.
That's not going to be a bad loss.
That early season speculation, you just don't know
You can't go by rankings this early because nobody knows.
Right, exactly.
You know, and at the end of the day, if the AAC doesn't have – usually it's not that deep. So usually the top three, four teams, they usually beat up on the bottom half of that and they win a lot of games. So you get some of those teams that are ranked like the Cincinnati's and, you know, UConn and SMU that's been recent years and stuff like that. So if UConn goes in and they have a good – non-conference, and then they go in and they beat up on the bottom half of the AAC, then that's not going to be a bad loss. It's not going to be looked at as a bad loss. Oregon, I would be willing to bet a lot of money that Oregon's not going to be a bad loss, and it's going to be neutral court. So when it comes down to the tier system and the whole NCAA, I don't think it's going to hurt us in the long run. It's just we kind of got to sit back and kind of observe and, I guess, call out what's wrong, like figure out what's wrong, and then just hope that that's what, you know, that they get it fixed.
So,
and that we don't lose any other type of game because we can't have a bad loss.
Right. Well, we won't know what's a bad loss until later down the road. But
right.
Let's put this – I said I wanted to put this into perspective. It was a bad weekend all in all. But overall, Joe, what did any of the Notre Dame game, and we're going to go over the Notre Dame game here in a second. Other than having your pride hurt and getting handled like that, and minus the issue with Dungy, because that's an actual, you know, issue, the game itself, it literally meant nothing to us, really. I mean,
are you talking about Notre Dame?
I'm talking about Notre Dame, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that's easy. Do you got something to say? Go ahead.
Well, I obviously, as a fan, you want to win.
Well, absolutely.
We talked about it last podcast, and I think everyone kind of realized that we were playing with house money, and I don't think really anybody thought that. I mean, everyone knew we had to have a perfect game, and once Dungy got hurt, I think
that once he threw the interception, you could kind of see the way it was going to go. I don't know if Dungy makes that game any closer, to be honest with you. I mean,
no.
We might have a couple more.
Are we rolling right into this right now? Or
No. Hold on. Go back to the basketball games. Early enough in the season, it sucked because they were back-to-back losses. They were in Madison Square Garden, and we were riding high, and we go in there. Cuse in the City weekend. It's been pumped up since the start of the season, and here we are. We go in there. We lose both games. But, Joe, other than having your pride hurt, what does it mean? What does it mean?
I mean, it means you get to play against good competition and see where your weaknesses get exposed and figure out how to fix it. And I think as a fan, any type of fan that's smart knows that they can look at it. They know Frank Howard's not there. They know that was an intricate part of the team. And you look back at three out of the last 4 years when we made the Final Four, when we made the Sweet 16 run. I mean, it was ugly. At times,
through
the
year,
we got to
early.
The end and we didn't even know if we were going to make it. So, like, again, it comes down to the expectations. You know, even last year when we made the Sweet 16, it wasn't like we were scoring amazing. You know, Dolje ended up stepping up and scoring double digits, and it helped. And we played amazing defense. We always had a problem scoring last year, even when we made the run.
And the defense always improves. It just
from the beginning to the end, it always does. I mean,
exactly.
This is to a Syracuse fan. I don't know why this would be any surprise. I think
it's actually.
I mean, as much as we didn't win this weekend, I mean, we were on, you know, primetime 3 days in a row. You're being watched by others. You know, and obviously, when you be watched by other fans and, you know, people around the country, you want to win and you want to show something. But I think the true fans out there know who we have and what we have. And as far as Syracuse fans, I mean, you should know. I mean, it's Jim Boeheim. This is how it works, you know.
Right.
In the beginning, he plays a bunch of people, and usually we have a couple more warm-up games before we play against teams like this. But, you know, we got thrown in the fire. We play against some good competition, and hopefully those losses don't come back to bite us at the end, which I don't think they will. But you learn from – you just get better.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That was a great experience for Jalen Carey this past weekend, you know.
Absolutely.
I think Sidibe and Dolje and Chukwu, they know what they need to do. O'Shea Brissett did not play good enough to win anything this weekend.
No, absolutely not. It was like
so
awful.
Yeah, actually, he didn't play well enough to even justify his minutes, other than the fact that he is who he is.
Right. Right. And so, we know that's not the O'Shea that we're going to be seeing.
No, and it's going to be different. With basketball, it's different. You can lose, and it's all about improvement. You could lose and just get better all to the end of the year and still have a chance to get in through the conference tournament, which obviously you don't want to go that route. But, I mean, there's always a chance. So.
Right. So Syracuse Orange basketball is 2-2. It's done. It's over with. Colgate, this Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the Carrier Dome. Okay? We're on to the next one, and we'll come back to talk about that. But we're 2-2. It's time to move on.
Still ready.
All right, Joe, the Orange dropped to 8-3 overall. The offensive trend continued to the turf as Orange got handled by Notre Dame. Dungy was 1-for-4 for 10 yards and an interception before he was injured and helped off the field. DeVito was 14-for-13 for only 105 yards, two interceptions. Mo Neal carried the ball 18 times for 74 yards. Taj Harris led receivers with 78 yards and five catches. The Orange averaged 482 yards a game. They only totaled 234 yards of offense against the Irish. Notre Dame defense was obviously just too much for the Orange to handle. Constant pressure led to six sacks, and they hauled in three interceptions. Not taking anything away from the elusive and talented Ian Book and his 292 yards passing, but the Syracuse defense does give up a lot of yards. They average 430 yards of opponent offense every game so far heading into here, and Notre Dame tallied 463. You can almost say it's par for the course. I thought the points were low enough to where if this offense was to score and be able to go down the field, it could have been more competitive. You know, point being, I'm not sure what more we could have expected with this type of defense. And, you know, I mean, Guthrie had 12 tackles. Cisco did pull in his sixth interception of the year. Yep. He's tied for first nationally. I mean, the defense was smothering. And that's the tail of the tape right there.
It was the tail of the tape, absolutely. Again, I think there's always speculation. I don't think that you can, because, again, Dungy and DeVito are two different players. And, I'm not just going to go ahead and say, I mean, when he got hurt, it was the third drive and we, what was it? 10-0.
He ended up getting hurt,
but we were driving, we were midfield. It looked like we were successfully running the ball with Dungy in there. Especially considering that they know that he is also a run option. And I saw that drastically change when he got hurt. Not to say that Dungy would have came in and we would have won some, but our defense played good enough. We talked about the bend but don't break. You know, they drove down there and we held them to two field goals two different times. And then they set up to go up 20-0 was after that interception, after DeVito was already in and he threw a nice little pass to Taj Harris, and that just popped up and went right in guys' hands. It was just one of the luckiest interceptions. I mean, it was just right. So, again, it's you never know what would have happened if Dungy wouldn't have got hurt. And again, you kind of saw the wind go out of the sails because I think that a lot of the players knew that DeVito wasn't ready for a team like that and that Dungy did give him the best, you know, chance to win. And, again, our defense still held up enough. I think, what was it, 20-0 at halftime?
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
20-0.
And then, again, we ended up getting that. We got Andre Cisco got that interception in the end zone, and then we held him to another field goal to the 23. So, again, I mean,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
That interception, that lucky interception we were talking about, that came with like 5 minutes, 4.5 minutes left in the second quarter. Uh-huh. It was still 13-0.
Right.
So, I mean,
and they were driving.
Momentum changes when your team can score. You know, our defense, we were just continually out there. We were out there for so long. Our defense held up. And if we could have actually
Played good, man.
The defense did play good for giving up that many points. It could have been way more.
Could have been freaking 50. I mean, really.
And at some point, Notre Dame, at the end of the third quarter, they were playing they played so many snaps, and our offense was not giving them any hope whatsoever. That's another thing they play off of. If your offense is scoring, your defense is willing to go out there and play harder because they know that you got their back and they're doing it for something. Right. And at some point you're just out there and you just have no hope and you don't even really feel like you got a chance, even if you do make the stop. So, and we still were out there giving it our all. Trill Williams, he ended up having a strip that never got, reversed.
Yeah. He was two foot inbounds, dude. He was 2 feet inbounds when he took that ball.
If it would have got reviewed, we would have got the ball back. And then, again, they went down and scored a touchdown, to go up 30-0 after that. So, again, the timely stuff with the turnovers and everything, obviously, I mean, it's almost like everything has been, like, too good to be true this year, you know? Dungy plays good, and when he didn't, the two different times when he got hurt or whatever, you got DeVito comes in, saves his butt, and we end up, you know, winning two games. And it's just we've been great with the turnover ratio and the special teams. And, of course, Schmidt comes in and misses a 23-yard field goal. Like, it was almost like the perfect storm of just the things that we've been able to do to win these close games, you know, and to not have to make mistakes, just being so efficient on special teams and the sacks and the takeaways and everything like that, and being able to score points and put points on the board. We couldn't do it. And again, obviously, you got to give a lot of credit to Notre Dame. Their defense is really, really good. They surprised me.
Yeah, it's good.
But I think there's always going to be the speculation of the shoulda, coulda, woulda if Dungy didn't get hurt, just because if we do end up scoring a touchdown early, or Dungy breaks a play, or this or that, you know, your team feeds off that. And on top of that, we never pressured Notre Dame. If we could have scored with them and got it close, put a little bit of pressure on them, then you never know what could have happened. So, again, it's easy to just say, oh, it would have happened even with Dungy. But, I mean, mentalities, the way you call the game as far as coaches, everything – just change when something like that happens. So, and we've seen it before with the Dungy effect. We've talked about it.
Yeah, yeah. That which we haven't seen the Dungy effect Saturday. This year until then.
Well, yeah. Really,
what we call the Dungy effect.
Come in and save them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That was the first little glimpse of it, and that was right. What I was afraid of. And the floodgates kind of opened, but it could have been a lot worse.
And hopefully, you know, the probability of Dungy playing against Boston College, I would say, is nil. Okay, so. They need to prepare and get their asses in the gear and put on, you know, put it behind them and let's do it. Of the seven Notre Dame drives that were in the red zone, they got out of those, just to give credit where credit's due to the defense here. I think, let's see, three produced touchdowns and three for produced field goals, and then the one interception. So it could have been a whole lot worse. Seven drives in the end zone. You settle for three touchdowns. That's 21 points. The nine points off of field goals and a turnover. But on the flip side of that, too, the three turnovers from the interceptions, Notre Dame only cashed in 10 points from those, which that could have been a whole lot worse, too. So hats off to the defense. I mean, I don't know what else to say. If I'm going to take anything away from that game, it's got to be the way the defense played. So I'm just trying
to. Well, our offense played so bad and our defense played so many snaps that to say that. To only hold Notre Dame to, what, 35, 36 points is
36,
good, because that could have been 50 easily.
Well, you were on the podcast. You were on a podcast with Irish Sports Talk, which is a Notre Dame football podcast. They invited you on there, and you said your prediction was a little off, but your points are almost right on the money as far as Notre Dame goes. You said if we hold them to, what'd you say, 35 to 32, Notre Dame wins at the last second field goal, right?
And that's what I said, yeah.
All right, but you gave him 35 points. My point is that I would have said the same thing. If you would have told me Notre Dame's only going to score 36 points, I would have probably said, man, that's going to be a really close game.
I thought that we would have, that's why I picked to cover the spread. You know, if we would have held them to, exactly. If you would have said Notre Dame's only going to score 35, 36 points and Syracuse is getting 10 points, do you think they're going to cover? I think most people would have said yes.
Yeah,
so
just too much, man. It proved to be too much.
Again, it's as a Syracuse fan, with Dungy getting hurt, especially late in the year, and then playing outside in the elements, which we haven't had to do yet. Granted, it wasn't bad, but we haven't played outside in 40-degree weather, you know?
Not right.
It's all too familiar for a Syracuse fan in November. The only difference is that this is the number three team in the nation. It's not Wake Forest, you know, or Pittsburgh, as far as a couple years ago when it was a 76-61 game. Dungy really didn't play that long. We've seen him start slow in other games. Wake Forest comes to mind. I think he played three or four drives, and they were up 10-0 before he got started. And you could tell that Notre Dame was playing a little bit different, and we definitely were running the ball pretty decent when he was in there, when you had that little, you know, when you had the option of running Dungy. So once DeVito got in there and his pocket passed, it was all over with. So again, it's all speculation, but I mean, you look at it in perspective, like we talk about as far as beginning of the year and looking at Clemson and number two in the nation, Notre Dame number three in the nation, and then our other loss against Pittsburgh. They're playing against Clemson in the ACC championship. They just beat Wake Forest this past week and locked that in. So they will be playing against Clemson in the ACC championship. So those are our three losses. And they did break into the top 25 as well this week. So
Yeah. All right. Well,
so all three of our losses are to ranked teams, and we're 8-3. So put it in perspective, it's not too bad. It's just, I think, when you piggybacked,
it's just that it's just the cumulative.
Yes,
you know,
from the first basketball game against UConn all the way to the cumulative, you know, because it was like, okay, all right. And then it was like UConn was like, and then Oregon, it's like, well, Oregon's really good. And then it's like, okay, we lose by 15. Now we're 0-2 in basketball. And then everyone, I think, was like hyped up for Syracuse football to like get us off the losing end. And it just didn't change.
Just
and I think
it
was just
come to fruition.
Yeah, it was just one thing after another. And I think, you know, as a Syracuse fan, it's definitely frustrating. It's a tough weekend to be a Syracuse fan for sure. But hey.
But next week is a new week.
We were in the spotlight, though. But we were in the spotlight as well.
Yeah, I don't really care much about the spotlight.
Games in Madison Square Garden. And I mean, I'm just saying.
I know. I hear you. I don't.
You got to win to be like, you got to win to play primetime, bro.
I know. But, and I'm not one of these ranking hawks that has to check the rankings as soon as they come out and all this stuff. Yeah, it's cool and everything, and I do it if I'm going to do social media stuff, you know, but as far as like really caring about it, I don't. I want to see it. I want to show me the money, man. I want to see what you do, not what people think you can do.
No, I get it, but being relevant is...
Well, it helps recruiting. It's the only thing that I think is... That's the most important thing to it to me. If you can show that you can stay ranked and be relative, like you're saying, and that shows recruits that, you know, it's worth going and trying it out. So,
right.
But anyways, I have nothing else to really say about it. I think it sucked, but you know what? Syracuse has got two more games to play, and we have an injured quarterback right now. And I think it's
DeVito's team.
It's DeVito's team, and we'll see what happens. I really hope that Eric can get back for the bowl game. I really am pulling for that, but I don't know. It does not look good.
I know. But you know what? I hope that they've all kind of been next man up, and I just hope that, I mean, it's Tommy DeVito's team now. He's going to be the starter next year for all intents and purposes, barring something crazy. And, you know, it starts now. Just act like, I mean, go in there and prepare like he's just the guy from here on out, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to be playing this next game, and even if Dungy can come back to the bowl game, I'd still probably do some type of two quarterback thing or, you know, but
yeah.
You kind of got to just, well, I mean, hey.
I think it's too late for that. If Dungy can play, you play.
It's not
if
too
he
late.
Can't.
I mean, if it comes down to a bowl game like that, you want to play a bowl game, you want to win. But I think, you know, at some point you got to just let it go and turn the reins over to somebody else. You know, you got to stop going this back and forth stuff. And if it's going to be something to where Dungy's going to be questionable to where he might not even be able to game plan for like half the practice time. And that's one of the biggest things about a bowl game is you're guaranteed, you know, 3 weeks of extra practice. You can get that. If you don't make a bowl game, you don't get that. So that's huge for development.
Absolutely.
And some of the younger guys and to have DeVito be able to get those extra weeks of practice on top of getting this whole Boston College game. It'll probably be the first game that he starts in, goes all the way through barring injury, and get him ready for the bowl game. And if you know, by God, you know, Eric Dungy can get healthy enough the last week or so to go in there and be able to play a little bit, you know, just give him some series, give him some burn, give him his respect. But I don't want to see the guy get hurt anymore.
I know.
He's done enough, man. He's done enough. This season was amazing. Even if we lose the last two games, the season was amazing.
Yep.
Just based off expectations, so...
All right.
It's time to hear from you. The loud mouths from the Loud House. The best damn college sports fans in the nation.
All right. Fan feedback is brought to us by J.P. Mulligan's, 202 West Genesee Street in Fayetteville. Trivia Tuesdays, every NFL game, every Sunday. Happy hours, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. And, of course, you go there for the wings. You go there for the beer. You go there to be with other Cuse fans.
Cheers.
And watch the game. And you can go there and ask Nick behind the bar if he's working for some swag. And a funny story, Joe. I don't know if I told you this. A friend of mine texted me a picture of her in one of our stickers, and she didn't know it was me, but she got it from JP's. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh wow, yeah.
So anyway, she found out later it was me, but you know, but I thought that was cool. She got it from JP's. So, yeah, nice. Go there, grab a couple stickers or whatever, and we'll keep them stocked the
good
best
work,
we can.
Nick. Good work, Nick.
That's right. So, first, what we're going to do is our iTunes review giveaway. What you do is you go to iTunes podcast where you listen, and what we need you to do is give us a 5-star rating. It rejects 1-star ratings immediately. So just give us a 5-star and then give us a written review. If I read your written review on the show, what you'll do then is email us at qsmilitia@gmail.com and give me your address, and I'll send out the swag as soon as possible. And I see some new ones in here, and they're great, fantastic. And what I'm going to do is let you know that I see you, and I will get to you, I promise. But first, we're going to do Bilski 44, most knowledgeable Syracuse. Oh, first he says, great Syracuse podcast, most knowledgeable sports podcast that you will find. 5 stars all the way. Keep up the great work, Sean and Joe. Thank you so much, Bilski. I really appreciate it. And see, it takes 2 seconds. It takes 2 seconds. It means a ton to us. It really helps us in the ratings on iTunes and helps us get recognized. And we are the most and best rated Syracuse podcast in iTunes. All right, you can go at Cuse Militia on Facebook and Twitter, and we propose the question after most games, I would say, immediately to leave your feedback, and we use it here in this segment. But first, I put out a poll after the games for basketball. Where do you think Syracuse basketball stands after the last two games come Monday? And I've got in the top 25 or out of the top 25, and I don't think... I put out of the top 25. That was my, I mean, I don't get to vote on it, but that's what I would have put. And it won out 89%. I don't know if that was anger or frustration, but only 11% chose still in the top 25. I think it's going to be really close. The showing, you know, people vote on this stuff. So, you know, they're fallible. It's not, you know, they vote with their eyes. Right, Joe? So,
right.
I mean, what do you think?
I think it'll be close, like you said. Yeah. If we're still in, it'll be somewhere between the 22 to 25 rank, most likely. And if we're out, it'll be, you know, we'll be one of the last probably 3 to 5 teams, like, not of receiving votes. So we can probably drop anywhere between 22 and 30, be my guess.
Yeah. Okay. For the I'm going to do the basketball game Twitter, basketball games Facebook, and then we'll do the football the same way. So, and I'll try to get through as many of these as possible. I really appreciate everybody participating.
No, there's so much, dude.
Yeah, there's like, I don't even know. Like, dude.
We used to have to stretch these out.
You used to have to stretch this out. Now I got to speed read them to get through them all.
You just used to make it up.
I don't know about that, but what I did
I'm
do, what
joking.
I did do is I would have to go into like Syracuse football's social media feed and pull out stuff. So we do this all with our own social media now, and it's awesome. I really like, you guys are awesome. The podcast spreads word of mouth, and the social media, you guys are just awesome on the social media. I love it. There's conversation in these threads now between people, and I can't say enough about it. I never thought we'd be here. So anyway, our buddy Captain Patrick at Oil Cuse, we will be better in a month or two. Well, I hope so, Patrick. I really do. At JD's dad.
Screw the pooch.
At JD's dad, need some chemistry in UConn. Shot lights out. Yeah, absolutely. And they, you know, we saw that didn't hold true through their next game. So at Salty Warrior, thoughts: embarrassing, pathetic, clueless, soft, heartless, no leadership, no effort, no focus, no toughness, no offense, no defense. And remember, these are immediately after the game. So he was upset. He has every right to be. Let's see. At DLRIT. The effort sucked. Negative 14 on the boards is a disgrace. O'Shea was a no-show. Yeah, that was the biggest stick right there, yep. Man. O'Shea, he just didn't hold out. At the Laugh Lap, lazy defense, poor rebounding. Yeah, we got beat on the boards hard. Let's see.
That's what we talked about. Yep. They got out-rebounded, and they gave up. Like I said, both teams shot 50% from the field. Like, you're not going to win.
No. At Mr. Dodger 1966, 3 things you can count on from any Cuse basketball team: inconsistent outside shooting, big men in foul trouble early and often, big men who cannot rebound. I mean, It seems that way.
And
it seems that way. So at NY Sox fan, that's terrible, Keith. NY Sox fan. I don't know.
It's White Sox.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure.
Here are my thoughts. Kerry is going to be good, and Battle needs to remove his head from his ass. Battle, like we said, not a terrible showing, but it wasn't effective. His final numbers, outcomes, like he got going late in the UConn game.
Better than what Brissett did.
Huh?
Better than what Brissett did.
Yeah, absolutely. At Mackey_62, one of these teams will be playing in March. The other will be recalling the night they hit a bunch of threes. That didn't hold true. Our buddy Mike, if not now, when 84. Dan Hurley is the new John Thompson. Guy's a douche. I'm with Mike. He was so douchey.
He was tough to watch, but...
Dude, why are you? You're celebrating like a little schoolgirl. You want some pom poms? Do that crap,
dude. Like, it's his first game like that.
He was douchey.
He's a coach for UConn.
Mike, I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. The guy's a douche. I loved seeing him lose the next day with his bottom lip all puckered out like a little baby. Yeah, that was great.
Look, you guys do realize that we have to like cheer for them to do good, otherwise it's gonna be a bad loss.
That's true. Cuse memes getting in on our feed. It's awesome. Frank would have made little difference tonight. He has always struggled against smaller, quicker backcourts. The rebounding margin was inexcusable. 3-point shooting is atrocious, and this zone is currently nowhere it should be. Yeah, nowhere near where it should be. Absolutely. And we were talking about that. The defense just is not there. The defense, I think, will get better throughout the year.
It just
always does.
We're a better team than UConn. If they didn't shoot 50, if they shoot in the mid 30% from 3-point line, then we win that. Or if we out-rebound, then we win that. It's rarely when we play a team like that are we going to get – is both of that going to happen. So we'll get better.
At JRainer44, I hate Dan Hurley. I concur. I hate UConn. I concur. Go Cuse football. Ooh. That was before the football game.
Yes, it was.
At Mouse Aider? I don't know. Tom. Special Syracuse basketball team when they don't play defense. Oh, typical Syracuse basketball team when they don't play defense. They thought they would be an easy win. Rebounding was once horrible again. No boxing out. Too much one-on-one offenses with their other four players stand and watch. Everything is fixable. Let's hope they do. Well, yeah, it's fixable. I don't know if it was that bad, but at Michael_MBot, Frank, come back soon. Yeah, and hopefully we get to see some of that. At BigChuck44, where's the press? Why are settling for threes? O'Shea needs to focus on scoring and not playing to contact. He drives to the hoop. We will be okay. Okay, well, I think he's saying here is where was the press? It was not there until the second half of the Oregon game, as far as I could see. And it worked, earlier in the season and in exhibition. And what he's saying here is what I said. O'Shea should be trying to drive in the paint and draw fouls. Let's see. There's a conversation there. We won't get into that. At Geo Heater. Oh, well, here, Let's see what he said here. I got him, I think. Here we go.
How's it going, Cuse Nation and Cuse Militia Podcast? At Geo Heater here on Twitter. A lot of things, and I don't think I have time to get into all of it, but it just comes down to I think that there's some underlying problems here a little deeper than Frank Howard. It just doesn't feel like they have it. Like, the competitive edge that they always play with, I wasn't seeing it. And, like... shots weren't falling, and, defensively, it seems like teams have us almost figured out. I mean, not every team's going to shoot the three like UConn did, and Oregon shot it really well, too. But just inside, Pascal got beat up quite a bit. It was disappointing. Two games that could have been nice resume builders, but they certainly, I think if you win them, they look decent, but losing them hurts a lot on your resume.
All right, let's go. Let's start with this. All right, Joe, is there more? Is there an under? This has been speculated. Is there more of an underlying issue with the team other than Frank Howard being out and no one has been just no one's just stepped up and run the offense?
Well, I mean, that is the underlying. I mean, it's figuring out the roles.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, I think I mean, what he's saying is like, something that, you know, a locker room issue or something that we're not seeing. That's the way I feel like
I mean,
he's
there's always
it.
Different dynamics every year when you bring in new people. So you never really know that. But it's sometimes, like I said, it's tough in the beginning of the year because certain people had roles last year and now other people come in and now it changes. So and I think that it kind of. You like again what we talked about. It's tough because you don't know. People are trying to figure what out the roles and everything now, and then Frank Howard is going to come back and it's going to change all over again. So,
yeah,
I would get used to it. Get used to the bumps in the road.
Brandon says, as far as the Orange tonight, they should feel very proud of themselves. They allowed themselves to be the first ranked team to be beaten by UConn since 2014. What an accomplishment to be beat by a team who has no chance in hell to make it to the NCAA tournament. This will be great. This would be a great win for them and an awful loss for us. Well, I hope not, but there's a lot of sarcasm there, Brandon. Joe, yeah. The fact that we played so bad and they shot like 60% plus from three and we only lost by seven is a testament to the talent of this team. Plus, I think UConn will be better than people give them credit for. Battle hasn't gotten going yet. No, yeah, that's true. Buddy hasn't found his stroke either. It's early. No need to push the panic button yet. I agree.
Red shirt.
Lauren says, where was Battle? Carey is good, but not a point guard. Yeah. Brian, they looked lost in basketball. IQ on this team is not very good. Just a bad loss, and hopefully they learn from this game. Still freaking hate UConn. Man, and this goes on and on. And on.
Yeah, this is too long.
Yeah. At J Evans BCBNJ. I don't know what the hell that means. No one showed up. Complete letdown. No one stepped up, especially when Dungy went down. At Ian Witch, hats off the better team on to BC. Yeah, I mean, what are you gonna do? At Kevin Craig 6, their players are a lot better than ours. At Mr. Dodger 66, nothing. Just like offensive effort. Babers is Bush League. And at the guy 13 says hardly. Yeah, Babers is not Bush League. At Soup Can 11, we sucked. At J Carpenter 74, that was rough on to BC. Let's finish strong at 9-3. So you guys get the feel. I'm sorry, I can't get to them all, and I don't want to bore people. So that's it. Joe, wrap
Too
this
late.
Up. Yeah. Move on to BC, man. It's done. It was painful.
It's done.
It's painful. It's done. Look, check out, I forgot to mention them at the beginning of the show, but I'm going to do that next time. Check out Orange Appeal Network, okay? APPEEL Network. Orange Appeal Network. It is Dale Shackelford and Roosevelt Bowie. They have their own post-game show. They go live on Facebook after every basketball game. And they contacted us, and I told them that we would help promote their show on our show as well on social media. And we hope to get them on the Cuse Militia podcast, which would be phenomenal. Two Syracuse legends. I would be completely honored to have them on. So hopefully in the future we can do that. Until then, you can check them out at the end of every basketball game. I want to thank JP's. I want to thank my bookie. I want to thank everybody who participated in the fan feedback. We could have done a whole episode on that. So that's a wrap for Joe. I'm Sean. We're out.
This has been the Cuse Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. Be heard. Contact us on Facebook at Cuse Militia Podcast and tweet at us using hashtag Cuse Militia.